Good morning, church. What a privilege and honor for me to be speaking to you this morning. I am grateful to Pastor Mike for sharing this pulpit with me this morning. You know, not a lot of pastors share their space with young people. Because sometimes you never know what they are going to say, right? So, thank you, Pastor Mike, for trusting me. I know he's not here. And to you, my brothers and sisters of Arlington Woods, you have been very generous to me. So, thank you. The last time I spoke at a church congregation was about 3 years ago. So, if you see that I'm nervous, please be nice to me, okay? My wife was telling me that if there is anything, any advice she has for me is to limit my hand gestures. So we'll see how I do on that. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was in the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Church, I submit to you this morning that right there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, is our introduction to the Trinity. In the beginning, God created. Verse 2, and the Spirit of God hovered the face of the waters. Verse 3, then God said, the Word, which became flesh in Jesus Christ. 3, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, right there. How can I teach about the Holy Spirit? A person that existed before time. What qualification do I have to speak of Him who existed before creation, except by the Spirit of God, except by the enablement of His Spirit? And how can you understand that which existed before time and space? It's impossible unless the Spirit leads you. So let's pray that the Spirit will lead us. Dear God, I am yours. And you are mine. Use me this morning for your glory, as you please. In Jesus' name, amen. My message today is titled, The Ignored Helper. And the ignored helper, I was actually thinking of the ignored God. The helper here, excuse me, is referring to the Holy Spirit. Some of you will know that the Holy Spirit is probably the most misunderstood, the most overlooked, and probably the most ignored of the Trinity, because it's hard to understand who He is and how He works. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It marks the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, which is 50 days after resurrection. It is recorded in the book of Acts, in the New Testament. I'm going to give you a summary of what I really believe God is asking us to think about today. 5 things. Number 1, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is not a power. The Holy Spirit is not a means to God. The Holy Spirit is God. Number two, the Holy Spirit is Jesus without limit. And I'll explain that. What Jesus did in the flesh when he was on earth, the Holy Spirit does in the spirit. Number three, the Holy Spirit is not the preserve of Pentecostals. And I'll come to that. Number four, if you have said yes to Jesus, if you have accepted him, the Holy Spirit lives in you. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And the last point is that we receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit through fellowship and communion. So that's what I hope that we're able to establish today. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, there are different people or different types of people and where they are. We can talk about three people if you like. Some people are less informed about the Holy Spirit, about who he is and what he does. So a lot of course, unbelievers may not know a lot about the Holy Spirit. But also, some believers are not informed. But then there are also those who are misinformed about the Holy Spirit. For example, they mistakenly think that the Holy Spirit has only meaning for Pentecostals. That cannot be true. If you think about it, the Pentecostal movement did not emerge until the Azusa Street Revival in 1906, thereabout, at the turn of the 20th century. Pentecost Sunday is about 1,900 years older than Pentecostals. To say that only Pentecostals can share in Pentecost, can share in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is like saying only Baptists can share in baptism. No, that cannot be. All Christians need to be baptized with water, and all Christians need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit not so we can speak in tongues. No. That has its place. But we need the Holy Spirit so that we can live the Christian life. Church, this is almost like a cliche, but it's impossible to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. Of course, there are other people who understand the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is largely ignored in their life. You don't need to find where you are. We're all going to work together on this. So today we'll focus a bit on the Holy Spirit and his ministry, the person of the Holy Spirit and the ministry. And my hope is that we would be able to, if depends on where you are, demystify what the Holy Spirit is and how he works in our lives. And then we'll pray. I've been inspired by several speakers and mentors. One person who has inspired my thinking on the Holy Spirit is Pastor Mensah Otabo. He's a lead a pastor in a church, international church headquartered in Ghana. My opening text is from John chapter 14, verse 1, verse 16 to 19. Sorry. John chapter 14, verse 16 to 19. This is part of the prayer that Jesus prayed before he went to the cross. It is part of the longest recorded prayer of Jesus in the New Testament. Note that Pentecost is recorded in the book of Acts. I am not speaking directly from Acts today. I think it's important to go back a little bit. Let's take a look at the promise of the Holy Spirit and how it came out in the book of Acts. So let's read. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. I want you to take note of that. That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Dwells with you, present. Present tense. Will be in you, future tense. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. I want you to take note of the propositions over there about the Holy Spirit being with you, or the helper in this context, being with you and will be in you. If we had time, we would have gone all the way back to the Old Testament and see the presence of the Spirit of God and how it runs through all the Old Testament till Jesus' baptism, where again we see the manifestation of the Holy Trinity, and then throughout the New Testament. But we don't have time, so we won't do that today. Before Jesus physically left the earth and his disciples, he promised them a replacement who would live with them always. And he described that replacement as the helper. Some Bible translations say counselor, comforter, advocate. Right? Same thing. And so I want us to pay attention to that. Can we all say the helper? The helper. Perfect. Good. He says, I pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Now, some of you know that I'm a teacher, so we're going to go to the Greek, okay? I'm sure some of you would be disappointed if I didn't go to the Greek. So let's go to the Greek. The Greek word that is translated as helper in the New Testament is, and Scott will bring this up for us. Excuse me. Parakletos. This is the Greek word that is translated helper. You don't need to mention it. You don't need to memorize it. Just know. But here's the thing. Sometimes the Greek words are not always translated the same way in different parts of the New Testament. Okay? So what I mean is, you may have the same word in John and have the same word used in the book of Acts, right? But the meaning, the translation is a little different, even though it's the same word. Okay? So parakletos basically means a helper or an advocate. Someone who is called to stand by your side. But he's not passive. He's supposed to also intercede on your behalf. Okay? And also called to strengthen you. So right there we see what the Holy Spirit does. So when Jesus says, and I'm doing a little bit of, excuse me, I'm doing a little bit of teaching to the hand gesture is going. Okay, I'm doing a little bit of teaching on this. I want us to pay attention to the text. It's very important. If you place it in context, what's happening is that when Jesus says, I'll give you a helper, that's what he actually meant, right? A person who would come stand with you, intercede on your behalf, and strengthen you. But note the way Jesus Christ put it. He says, I will give you, or I'll pray, and the Father will send you another helper. He did not say just a helper. He says another helper. Now, another helper means, and it presupposes, that there is a first helper. Right? So take for example, I have this envelope here. This is the envelope for putting in your money or checks, right? And this is one envelope. So assuming that I tell my wife to give me another envelope, right? What she's going to have to do is she's going to have to look and give me an envelope just like this, right? She cannot give me an envelope that is for something different. She has to give me if I say another envelope, it has to be this one. So just like the one that was the first. So if the Holy Spirit is another helper, then it presupposes that, of course, there was an existing helper. So who is this first helper? Let's go to the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. The word that is translated advocate is the same word that is rendered helper in John chapter 14 that we read. So Jesus himself is a paracletos. He's the helper. He's the advocate. And now he says he will pray the Father to send and to give us another one. He's saying that I'm the helper, but I'm going to pray the Father to give you a helper like me. But this new helper has a different outlook, a different form, a different presentation, but the value and the power is the same. So, note the difference. Jesus was a helper in the flesh. The Holy Spirit is our helper in the Spirit. Two different things in that context. So when Jesus was on earth, he says he was a help to... Thank you. That's the generosity I was talking about, right? So, see, I want you to follow me on this because we're going to end with something. Jesus was a helper and he promised us another helper, right? When Jesus was on earth, of course, he helped people. We can talk about that all day. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus would take a break, pause, and go and help the blind to see. Jesus was an advocate. You remember the story of the woman who was caught committed adultery? The Bible says that they brought the woman who had been caught in adultery to Jesus, and they had come with stones to offer justice because the woman had broken the law. And the Bible says Jesus took some time to scribble something on the floor. We are not told what Jesus wrote, but it's very likely that the people saw what Jesus had written. And the Bible says that Jesus looked at them and said, if any of you has no sin, let cast the first stone. And the Bible says all of them left. Jesus was the advocate. So let's go back to the envelope that I was talking about. You can put money in this envelope, but you can also put money by donating digitally, online. It goes to the same place. You have the means of either doing it this way or doing it online. That is a good illustration of Jesus in the flesh and how the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Same thing, same giving, going to the same cause. You are just doing the same thing another way. The Holy Spirit is no less and no more than Jesus. The same Jesus, the same Paracletos Jesus, who is now another Paracletos in the Spirit. Don't forget, Jesus himself was the Word that became flesh. So the Holy Spirit is God. We have to understand the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, having understood that, what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do for us? There is a lot, but I want to highlight two things quickly. He is present in all believers. The Holy Spirit is present in all believers. Of course, the Holy Spirit has a role to play even for non-believers. But we are not going into that today. Because it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit that brings people to the knowledge of Christ. Okay? So the Holy Spirit is not just for Christians, actually. If you think about it. It's that which can bring people into Christ. But it's also able to, of course, what I want us to focus on, present in all believers. As a believer, the Spirit is ever present in you. Now, here is one of the ways in which the Spirit is different from Jesus. While on earth in the flesh, Jesus could only physically, okay, because he was physically present, he could not physically be with his disciples all the time. Jesus was limited. He could be separated. That's why he could be in Decapolis, or he could be in Sicilia, and his disciples may be somewhere else. However, the Holy Spirit is not limited by time or space. He is present at all times. Jesus could only be as a person. I'm not talking about Jesus as God, but as a person, he could only be at one place at a time. Of course, he could work miracles without going in there. But physically, he could only be at one place at a time. The Holy Spirit can be in a zillion or gazillion places at the same time. He is in me, he is in you, he is in Brazil, he is in India, at the same time. Even when you are not aware that he is there, he is there. This is what the first helper couldn't do. If you think about it that way. That is why Jesus said in John 14 that it is good, it is actually to your advantage that I go. Because if I don't go, I will be limited. But when I go, I will send you another one like me, and him, he will be in everybody at the same time. If you are a born again believer, if you have accepted Jesus into your life, the Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit is not that which people show by falling down or doing whatever they do. The Holy Spirit lives in you. The second one is that he guides us and empowers us to live as Christ lived. We know this. The Christian life is not lived by willpower. The Christian life is not lived by willpower. It is lived by spirit power. The Christian life is not lived simply by hard work or working hard. How hard can you work to keep the laws? It's impossible. The Christian life is lived by yielding to the Holy Spirit. It is not about hard work. It is about trust and confidence in the Holy Spirit. The Christian life was not designed to be hard. It was designed to be easy. But the easiness does not mean we should relax and all that we should expect no hardship or challenges. The easiness is that we trust the Holy Spirit and he lives the life through us. Now, I'm not saying this because I have attained that. I'm saying this because it is what we are all expected to do. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live the Christian life. The challenge, and this is how I'm going to end, the challenge is for us to be able to know the difference between our relationship with Jesus Christ, how he manifested, and our relationship with the Holy Spirit after the death of Christ. This is very important. So how should we relate to the Holy Spirit? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Some of you may know this. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Some of us, we had to learn this when we were growing up. You say it every time at the end of service. my wife likes to add, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The sweet is not in the Bible, but it is when she asks it, it's sweet, so I agree. But I want you to know the word communion. The other translations say fellowship. Okay? In both 2 Corinthians and Philippians chapter 2, in Philippians, two words are used: communion of the Holy Spirit and fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The word fellowship in the Greek is koinonia, which means to share in, to partner with, and to commune with. The Holy Spirit relates to us on the basis of koinonia, or on the basis of communion. In other words, you cannot relate to the Holy Spirit. It can be living in you. You cannot relate to the Holy Spirit unless you learn how to commune with Him. You have to know how to be aware of Him. You know, the key to assessing the gift of Christ, salvation, is grace. You don't pay for it, it's grace. But the key to assessing the ministry of the Holy Spirit is not grace, it's communion and fellowship. So you can be a believer and the Holy Spirit will sit in you and will not show forth because you are not aware and sensitive to His dealings. And so that's what I want us to draw out. I want to draw our attention to. My last 2 points, and then we'll pray. So how do we fellowship with the Holy Spirit? First, we have to have respect for the Holy, for His person. Okay? I know time is... Here we go. So I'm going to make it two, quickly. The Holy Spirit is God. Many times we equate the work of the Holy Spirit with His person. Take, for example, you go to the medical doctor. The medical doctor, doctors, the men, they heal, they help you to heal. But when you go to them, they ask you questions and you respond. What's your name? How are you feeling? Which part? And then they give you answer. It's a conversation. Church, that is how the Holy Spirit is supposed to work. We are supposed to engage the Holy Spirit in conversation. So, in most of the times, we don't go to the Holy Spirit silent. We have to have conversation with the Holy Spirit. It's a two-way fellowship. It's not a monologue. It's a dialogue. The Holy Spirit will ask you questions. If you go to the book of Acts chapter 10, the Bible says that Peter had a vision, and the Bible says that it says that Peter, arise, kill, and eat. And Peter said, no, I won't do that. And then back and forth, until Peter got a conviction, and the Bible says that the Spirit told him, there will be two people that are coming. Just go with them. This is how the ministry of Peter happened and how he was able to speak to the Gentiles. So what I'm trying to say is that don't be afraid of fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, because it is only on the basis of fellowship with the Holy Spirit that He becomes real in your life. Okay? So the last one is we have to be sensitive to the presence and the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Although the Holy Spirit is with us all the time, there are moments that He makes His presence real in our life. So you may be in church and you've sent the Holy Spirit calling you to raise your hand and worship. Do it. Okay? Our friends, Pentecostals and Charismatics, have some good habits and bad habits, right? Some of the good habits is that they pray a lot, right? But some of the bad habits is that they pray and they shout and they scream and they do that and they say amen. No fellowship. There is no engagement with the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is not only manifesting us only when we are in church. You are driving through Tim Hortons and you are getting coffee. The Holy Spirit is telling you, buy one for your wife. Buy one for your wife, but you are not doing it. You are not doing it and you don't do it. And then you get home and then, it's a problem. That was the Spirit of God telling you to do something. So church, this is how the Holy Spirit works. This is the person of the Holy Spirit, and this is how it works. Will you respond to the Spirit promptings in your life? Shall we stand? We have just about 3 minutes, 2 minutes maybe. It's past 11. But I just want us to talk to him in an intimate way as we reach out our spirit to him. This morning, what do you want God to do? What is God telling you? What is the Holy Spirit telling you? What work can you expect the Holy Spirit to do for you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank him for his presence in our lives. The Holy Spirit is real. He is at work in us, through us, and for us. Just tell him you trust him and you trust his leading and you trust his guidance. Would you open up to him? The Spirit lives in you if you have accepted him into your life. You have accepted Jesus into your life. But if you haven't accepted Jesus into your life, you're going to need him. You're going to need him. Lord, we are trusting you. We're trusting you, Holy Spirit. You know the way. You know the path. You know the direction. You know where we should go. You know where we should turn. We yield to you this morning in the name of Jesus. We yield to your superior knowledge and wisdom and your superior understanding, and we yield to your superior guidance to bring us out of where we are, Lord. Show forth your glory, Lord. We trust you to work the miracles that we have been trusting you for. There is nothing too hard for you. There is nothing too difficult for you. What men say is impossible is possible with you. Eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men what you are about to do in our life. We praise you. We glorify your name, Lord. And as our hearts are open unto you, God, may you minister to us. In the presence, oh Lord, we surrender to you. And if you feel so led, as a sign of your transparency and surrender to Jesus, you may lift up your hands. It's not anything, there is nothing magic about it. You are just being transparent with the Holy Spirit. You can lift up your hands and give him the glory and let him have control this day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Spirit is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The presence of the Lord is here. Have your way, oh Lord. Touch the heart of your people and reveal yourself to them like never before. And let them experience you. And those that have not experienced you yet, Lord, with their hands lifted and their heart bowed to you, may you commune with them. Engage them today and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.